You are now listening to the sweet sounds of Josie's Boy.
What's going on, everybody? It's your girl's favorite artist, Josie's Boy.
And I'm Alexis A. McCoy.
And this is a big celebration. Welcome to episode 150 of Call Me When It's Over.
Yes, 150. We 150 made
episodes.
It.
I mean, 3 years, 150 episodes. I get to my shit talking in a second.
You got shit talking?
Just a little bit. I mean, okay. No, not really. I should have did that on three. Usually I do that when I hit milestones, but I'm not going to do that anymore.
I think you talked a lot of shit on the three.
I didn't. It was.
I was mild.
Okay. But if you guys do not know the run through already, please follow the podcast on Instagram at underscore Call Me When It's Over.
And you can check us out on Facebook at Call Me When It's Over.
Yes. Do not forget to subscribe. Yes. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Google Play.
And you can catch us on our homepage at rageworks.net.
Yeah. So all that good stuff. So if y'all ain't really up on it, tell y'all.
I think you guys should tell a friend and tell a friend to tell a friend, then tell yourself. No,
please do. Please do.
That y'all should subscribe.
Now, before we get into anything, everybody's already heard of the situation with Nipsey Hussle, so we actually want to give our condolences to his family.
Yes,
and,
we do.
And please, in your prayers, keep them in your prayers, and also Lauren London, because people are forgetting to talk about her.
No, I don't think people have forgotten about her. I think they're just giving her a moment.
I mean, not forgotten about her completely.
Yeah.
I mean, like, in the beginning, nobody was thinking about how impacted the family was. Of course, it was such a big deal.
Yeah.
It was such a big deal, but we're sending our prayers.
We just
want
to pray for her and everyone that's connected to him, family, friends, loved ones.
All of the West Coast, too. Cause
and his fans, because they're taking it pretty hard as well.
This was like losing Biggie and Pac, man. This was serious. This was so fucking serious. Like, we're going to get into that a little later, but
prayers up to the family.
Yeah, prayers up to the family, condolences. So let's just move into the show. As well as we can, try to keep the spirits high. Our shout out for the week goes out to Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yes. Carters.
Yes, the Carters officially. They won the Vanguard Award at the NAACP Awards.
Yes, they did. Beyonce won Best Artist of All Time.
Entertainer of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, same shit.
Same thing.
I think that's the third time her winning. She was nominated 6 times and won 3 times or
something. Yeah, which was cool. And then he won for...
He won for something, but he was nominated like 8 times.
Yeah.
He's nominated like 8 times.
They're killing it. They're killing it together, you know, collectively and individually.
I mean, real talk, outside of like the great pictures and shit like that, like this is a true personification of what a power couple is. Like, you're great by yourself, but then together it's like,
they're definitely building. They have built an empire and a legacy for their children.
Bro,
so.
their children's children's children.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
Yeah, shout out to them. Shout out to NAACP Awards for actually still being around because I'm...
Yes!
NAACP
Awards was actually pretty lit.
It
was actually pretty
nice. Yeah, we watched it.
It was whoever orchestrated that, they should totally talk to the BET Awards because they need y'all help.
I think, I'll tell you right now though, because I know we pay attention to... we always talk about how black award shows need to be loved on and given some kind of attention.
It needs a little bit more structure.
I feel like BET is moving in the right direction. From the BET Awards last year, I think they're moving in the right direction. Because, I mean, if you pay attention to who...
Are we talking about going into 2019?
Yeah, because the last award show was in October. So, I mean, I would say...
What award show?
The BET Awards, the Hip Hop Awards is in October.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the BET Awards and, you know, that's coming up. Like, they have during the summer.
No. Yeah, the BET Awards.
Right. I was like, what?
The BET Awards last year was pretty decent, too, because look at what they had her and Daniel Caesar. And, like, they were doing something.
They do the spotlight.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something. Maybe I just got to go and see in person. Because on television, it'd be looking real crazy.
I mean, well, the way it's put together, yeah, it's like...
Maybe.
It's a lot going on.
I don't know.
I do know. If we're going to talk about supporting black awards, so like the way we get dressed up and go to NAACP Awards, I do think the BET Awards need the same kind of... They need new curators. They definitely need new curators. They need new people to like realize, hey, you know, we really don't
need
Rick Ross to perform
no more. I think we actually need talent. Like I feel like they do one hit, like the popular songs, and they get those popular people, and it's like... dang, we don't see them no more.
I mean, it was different. If you go back, I watched the BET Awards. I said, you go back, it was different. Of course they have to have the popular stuff, but the people they had are some of the people that had like the finger on the pulse. Like,
okay,
somebody was paying attention.
I stopped watching it because I was like, I don't know.
I watch it on the internet.
I can't.
They gave Jacquees a chance to perform.
They did. He did a good job. I saw his performance.
I won't go that far.
I said he did a good job.
I know, and I said I won't go far.
But you just said it was good. You just said it was good.
I said the BET Awards. I said they gave Jacquees a chance. I didn't say it was good. You got to pay attention.
And then found your body and found somebody.
That's a whole different... What?
No, but I said he did a cover of You Got It, You Got It, Man. He did. That's how he was singing it. I feel it in your body, found somebody.
Son...
That's how he was singing it.
We gonna leave the King of Covers alone. Fuck that shit, but.
The King of Covers. That's what he should have been calling himself, because he know how to remix it.
Ain't no damn King. He don't do it well, though. That's the thing.
He did that. I've been tripping.
LMA? Nah, that ain't hard to do.
I mean, I'm just saying. He did that one really good. He be covering some
I heard some Crip dude in a car do it better than him.
How was he singing it?
You know, big Crippin' Crip.
Oh.
That dude? Yeah, exactly. But anyway, that's a whole nother story.
Let him live. He got it.
Yeah, shout out to the Carters for killing shit continuously killing shit. And
continuing to invest into our community because they're doing a big job.
Jay and Usher just started. They just raised money for something, right?
So they invested their money. They invested their money. Into this tech startup called Hungry. Mm-hmm. And it's for basically chefs that are like
high-end chefs.
High-end chefs that are looking to expand their clientele. It's just like the Uber of high-class restaurants or
just
whatever.
A way for us to eat,
like private chef dining or whatever. Yeah. So say for instance your company Painted in Blue is looking to do an office party, and instead of just them going to like your local catering company to come up with this menu, they'll outsource with this company, this tech company, and they will get you the chef, and he'll be able to create the menu that you want with specific things.
But it'll be high-end chefs.
Yeah.
But it'll be high-end chefs.
Yeah. So it'll be high-end, very high-end food. It'll be a high-end menu. He'll create the menu that you want with his own recipes, which I think is... which I think is like really, really cool.
No, Jay Smart. That's regular nigga eating rich nigga shit.
No, I think it's kind of cool because think about it. If you are a small town chef and you don't have the opportunity, like you just got out of culinary school and you are working at like a smaller restaurant, mm-hmm. but you still want to get your name known and for people to see your creativity as a chef, you can subscribe to this tech thing, and other people in your neighborhood would be able to know, oh dang, he's a chef, so I can outsource to him.
No, this is true. It'll eventually get into that, but I mean, we all know where the money's going first. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah,
let's be real about it. Like, it's cool to be optimistic about it, but
think
about it.
It's a lot of black chefs that people don't know about,
right? I mean, that's why I think in that's gonna help. It's gonna help in the end, but like, let's be honest, we already know what this is Jay-Z's idea, which is cool. It's cool because he's business forward. This is the same idea he had with the raising money for the helicopter company.
Yeah.
And like, this is Uber Eats so niggas can eat rich nigga shit. That's what it is.
We don't know that. I mean, that's
from what I'm reading.
Yeah. Because it could just be a thing to open our horizons to just not having a regular event. Like, even your low-end events that have like low-budget events, you having something where it can be like high class, but it can come from a really nice chef that you might like, and he might be able to work in your budget. You know, you never know.
I'm going to tell you right now, you are very optimistic.
I am, because I feel like when you say stuff is out of people's pay rate, that makes them, I mean, of course some stuff is, but I just feel like why not shoot for the stars?
No, but that's the point I'm trying to make about the whole thing. It's like, yeah, this is a regular nigga's way of eating rich nigga shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's how, that from what I read, that's what is being pushed as first. It's worded.
Yeah. It's just called hungry. Yeah. It's like really simple.
It'll turn into an opportunity. Yeah. It'll definitely turn into an opportunity for other people, but like, yeah, that's the name of the game.
I think that's cool. I think that, we need to continue to like create opportunities for, like, you wouldn't even think about black chefs. Like, real you talk. Go to a restaurant. I don't know too many of them. I don't know. I really don't know too many by name, actually. I really don't know none. Well, I'm saying too many. Like, I don't know any. But, you know, if I go on his website, I'm like, dang, he really be making this salmon real good. You know?
It's funny because, speaking of creating opportunity, I mean, I was going to save this for later in the show.
What?
I feel like we should just like jump right into it.
What?
It does involve the Nipsey Hussle. It definitely does involve Nipsey Hussle. Now, we all know he's only been deceased for 3 days now.
Yes,
yeah, about 3 days now, which has been a hard 3 days. Our April started off hard, 100%. But I'm going to tell, and this definitely goes into being an opportunist, not for myself, but I mean, just speaking in general. Now, his death definitely bothered me for multiple reasons.
Yeah. I would say it was hard on hard on the music culture, mm-hmm, and people that are his fans, and within his fan culture and people within the black community, because it's one of us, and it's very deep to see the video of him being shot and killed. That was a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
and gun violence happening within our community, and
yeah, most definitely,
all of that type of stuff. So it took a toll on our community and our as a whole.
So now here's my thing. So as soon as I woke up, he died Sunday night.
Yeah. Right?
As soon as I woke up Monday morning, this bothers me about death in general.
Yeah.
Before we get into this conversation, though, really quick, we do have a good friend in the room joining us this week. My guy, yes, Jay the Red Santee, is in the building this week.
Jay the Red Santee.
What's going on, kid?
I don't, you know, I gotta get used to this because I'm not usually a guest on somebody's show. This is actually probably the second interview I've ever done in my almost 5 years of podcasting.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Welcome.
Welcome, brother.
Sit back and relax and let us lead, and we're going to take you on a ride.
We're going to have some fun, bro. Yes. We're going to have some fun.
Should I keep this jacket on?
Might get a little hot.
I took the beanie off already.
I think you should keep the jacket on because it's a little chilly.
Now, we're definitely going to get into some stuff about you, but like I want to start the show off with this because this has been on my mind, and we've had these conversations about stuff like this too. So Nipsey's been dead for he's been deceased he was taken away from us for about 4 days now, right?
Yeah.
As soon as I woke, and you were the one that sent me the message, actually, as soon as TMZ announces his death, you sent it to us. We had just started the Instagram live.
Yes.
Oh, really?
It popped up. We were sitting, we were preparing for the live, and then you popped up, you sent over the the message
literally as soon as
literally were sitting there for like
five or six seconds.
Like, dang, really?
Right.
We didn't know what to say, actually.
But it was funny because I'm a follower of TMZ, the first thing that they mentioned was that he was shot, mm-hmm, with two other people.
Right. That's then the first thing I read.
Then like probably about 15, 20 minutes later, because I was following the story, mm-hmm, they had mentioned that someone passed, but they didn't want to say who. And once they said it, I was like, it was him. I knew it. And right off the bat, it sent the chill down my spine. I said, I know it's him.
Yo, when we read the story, we were sitting at the table in her kitchen, and it said he got shot and two other people.
Yeah.
And no, it said it may have been him. Excuse me. The first story said it may have been him. No,
because they wouldn't even disclose who it was.
Right.
They were just saying that three people got shot next to his store.
Right.
They didn't even say if it was him or not.
When we read it, and she said, oh, Alexa said, I don't think he got shot. I said, you want to know how I know he got shot? She said, how? I said, because he didn't go on Instagram and dispel it. Because as soon as something has to do with a celebrity, specifically rappers, they'll go on Instagram and be like, yo, I'm good, blah, blah, whatever. Yeah. I'm like, yo, he got shot. I knew he got shot. I was hoping he wasn't dead. God's honest truth. I was hoping he wasn't dead. But so I wake up Monday morning, right? And me, you've had this conversation. We're talking about clout right now. Mm-hmm. As soon as I woke up in the morning, I knew this was coming. I saw Rest in Peace Nipsey Hussle shirts on people's websites already.
Jeez, are you serious?
I saw people making, I knew this was coming with the paintings.
Oh, yeah. No, the painting was coming.
But people were selling prints of the painting.
We had that conversation about that.
Right.
And you were like, I remember you texting me and was like, I can't believe this. I cannot believe this. Like, people are already trying to make a profit out of it.
It pissed me off. And the same thing when XXXTentacion died. Mm-hmm. It's like, just let these people rest. Like, there's one thing about doing a memoriam or something in memory of someone.
Which they are doing.
Which people do.
They have. They just started one.
Oh, and the Puma ad is now a memoriam of him, yes. But there's a whole other thing about cashing out. Mm-hmm. I blocked a few people. A few fucking people. One person I know, and one person I saw in particular put up t-shirts, she gonna say they not for sale. And then in her, I read her comments, because I read comments before I block people. I don't know how petty that is.
That is.
Oh, no, it's
I think it's real,
that
right?
Is
it's
up there. Super petty. It's if you there. Already know why you're gonna block, if you it's already have a consensus there. As believe to why you need to block them, what you gonna check the comments
believe me,
for?
Royalty's in your presence. King Petty's in the building.
You feel me? I need
I know
proof.
What it is.
So y'all got too much time.
So here's my thing. Basically. I'm reading it, and one guy goes, the first comment I read, it said, I'm not feeling this. You need to take these down. She goes, oh, but they're not for sale. He goes, okay, cool. So why are you posting
them? Why are you posting them?
And she didn't say anything. Another guy goes, oh, is this money going to his foundation?
Right.
And
that's understandable.
That's a very logical
question.
That's
understandable. That I can get.
She says, oh, it's not, but it should if you have the name of his foundation.
Which is not hard to find. Google, motherfucker.
Thank you. She said, let me know. But here's the kicker where she, well, I knew she was trying to defend herself with some next shit. She said, if there was a picture of a half-naked woman on the t-shirt, would you ask me where the money was going? I'm like, now you're trying to start an argument, justify you selling a picture of a dead man on the t-shirt.
To deflect.
Bro, as soon as I saw that block.
That's what she
blocked,
said?
Yes.
Trying to deflect.
Blocked. I was like, yo.
Okay, so I would have asked the follow-up question. Why weren't you selling these pictures a couple of weeks ago when he was living?
Talk about his greatness. You
right,
feel me?
Right. Yeah.
Now,
that's the real
question. I asked probably got sued. That's why.
Right, exactly. So now us, you know, we kind of coming from the same lane. Like, if for everybody who's listened to you, they've heard you on the show before multiple times over the past few years.
I've been
years.
On this place?
No, now you're in the guest seat.
Now I'm in the
different.
Guest seat.
So,
it's a nice view from over here, too.
A lot more air, right?
Yeah, a lot more area over here.
So, I guess I would like to know, because mm-hmm. I have only been podcasting for 24 hours. So
I'll give you 26. And you've been doing a remarkable job, by the way.
Thank you so much. Only 26 hours, all right, as in your words. I would love to know your journey.
Wait, like, before we get into that, I'm sorry to cut you off. I gotta finish the question then go with the story first.
Okay, go ahead.
We're gonna get into that.
I guess we're gonna hold off on your interview
No. This leads into it. Trust me. Just I got you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I have to, because I can't go from one thing to another. It's just
especially when he gets into the, like, in this
when
mode.
I, you're right. I gotta finish it.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Answer your question.
So, believe me, it's 150 episodes. I know how he works.
being someone who's been in the game for a little bit. A little bit. This is something that bothers me. We talk about clout chasers. Mm-hmm. Like, you being on your we're gonna get into your podcast journey, but like, how much does clout chasing bother you?
It's annoying, especially when you know, when you see somebody.
And not just in podcasts. I mean, like, right now,
yeah, right
in general,
now, no,
we're at the height of
it's ridiculous, because it goes from anything from what you just mentioned to even the lowest level of even kids doing it in school. Well, they clout chase even heavy in school because they need to be popular and they need to be in the forefront of something. They mm-hmm. need to be. They can't be individuals. They have to be a part of something. And it's unfortunate because, you know, especially with a movement like this, when it mm-hmm. comes to the podcasting world or music, the art or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be, if there's no substance to you being a part of what it is that you are, or being that being of what it is in you, mm-hmm. then why do it? Why be a part of something? Like, I'm not going to sit there and say, and I put up the, you know, like, I put up the post, damn, you know, like, I always, anytime I see somebody who passes away that I know, like, I know of, or whatever, yeah. I always put up a post, damn, and hashtag rest in peace. I didn't listen to his music.
You put me on to him,
but I didn't listen to his music.
You're being honest.
I've heard some songs, but I'm not going to say, like, I was a big follower of it.
Right.
But I, you know, in the recent months, I saw how proactive he was with the community.
Because we've had the cryptocurrency
raising the minority to a majority, discussing how we are as a society. I've heard the stories about what he was doing mm-hmm. within the community, buying real estate so that he could open up these stores, open up these avenues, so that we as a society in that community could be recognized more than just, you know, the color of our skin. We could be bigger. And I'm always behind that. But then you got these individuals who go on Facebook and they're also on Instagram, on Twitter, and it's like, oh, rest in peace, Nipsey. Your words meant so much to everybody. And it's like, but bro, I ain't never seen you post nothing of him ever.
But Can I ask a follow up question? Does that mean, because I was not a huge follower of his music. I would listen to songs that he was featured on, but I can't say I listened to any of his albums. But I knew who he was. I've never really posted anything about him, but that doesn't mean that I didn't align with his morals and what he stands for. Just because I didn't post him don't mean that I'm not a fan of who he is.
No problem. That's understandable.
Yeah. Right. But even those people that posted something about him in his death time, that still means that they still aligned with what he's doing.
The way that they were doing it, I mean, like I said, the way that
That wasn't a question. Yeah. That was a statement. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, do you feel like...
That's all right.
Do you feel like, even though you're not a huge follower of that person, even if you heard about their story or learned about them afterwards, you can still congratulate the process that they went through or even highlight the positive things that he has done for his community.
Right.
Even though you weren't a huge fan.
The way that I put it out there is the way that I conveyed my thoughts of him, because I didn't have to sit there and put up this, you know, it's a facade that people want to be. They want people to put a facade like they were really part of something which they really weren't. And it's like, I say this because I know individuals not only on social media, I know them personally.
Mm-hmm.
So I know them as individuals. And I look at them, and especially, and if I know you as a person who's not only an individual who's not proactive to do anything, that you're just sitting there and you're just doing it
for
trend. Just to get on the hashtag, just to get the likes. Then it's like, you see the comments, worse, so that's crazy what they did to him, fam. And it's like, why would you even, why
this
would you
This is the person that doesn't
him?
Stand yeah. for anything.
For anything.
Right.
So you're just doing it because of just the moment.
Right.
And it's unforgivable, especially when you speak about individuals like, that you mentioned who's going out to make a profit from it, who's making
money.
It's
disgusting.
I'll give you a quick example.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to go tie back to wrestling because that's what we do.
Because that's what we do, yeah.
There was Roman Reigns. He wrestles for WWE. He was diagnosed in October with leukemia. He's had leukemia for 11 years, but he was in remission and it came back.
This is the story that they pretty much working off of. Yeah,
but it's real. Yeah. He had leukemia.
Yeah,
he came back. No sooner than he made his announcement, there were already people on social media selling shirts that said "Fight Roman's fight with the leukemia," and it's no way tagged to any cancer foundation. Now everyone lining their own pockets.
But what was happening months before that?
Because I was like, no way, I'm not putting that on my page.
What was happening months before that though? Roman sucks. Don't push Roman. Hate Roman. Right. Now it's, oh, you don't know what he's going. Like I get that. It's true, Alexis, what you said. It's, you can definitely not know somebody and still push their rhetoric.
Right.
But I think where he's coming from, because, and I could agree on that too, is it's a facade. It's not, oh, he
Certain
died.
People.
Right. It's not, oh, he died. Right. Damn, I need to know about him now. Like, be honest about it. I didn't know him. I want to know more about him. It's the people who are like, damn, that was my nigga. This and the other. You such a, you know, like putting on
it's
this
like
facade.
It's like Extacion. Like, I
most
know,
niggas
I
didn't know, even know him.
I didn't know who he was. And I didn't even post it because I'm not going to be fake about it. But like, I'm not going to post about it. I thought it was horrible that a young man was killed that, you
Agreed.
Know, kill young life was taken that way. Of course, that's the life that we live, and it's unfortunate it occurs that way because we have monsters in the world that live
guns.
This way. But like, I'm not gonna sit there and be like,
something.
Yo, tears in the eyes, water down for Extacion. That's crazy. That was my man's in them. Yo, a flag in the air. And it's like, oh, man,
you know what?
I
feel like because people don't read enough. They do not.
You ain't lying about that.
Reading is fundamental. And people keep forget the fun and the mental part of fundamental. Reading,
in the middle, you
people,
don't read is
people
dumb.
Don't read. So they just they do Twitter headline. They read one line and they take it as their facts.
Mm-hmm.
And they be like, oh, this person, oh, we supposed to be all down with this person, I'm going to be down because everybody is saying something about it. So I'm going to have an opinion on it. I think that, like you said, Jay Santee, was that people don't have an individual mindset anymore. Like, nobody is really, everybody wants to just hop on this one train instead of just saying, is this really for me? Is this something that I really can back? Does this align with my morals and my values and my thought process and how I look at the world? Or am I just going to hop on a train with everybody else and just be liked? Nobody right. wants to be the devil's advocate. Nobody wants to be unliked. Nobody wants to sacrifice themselves for something that's totally opposite from what the masses is going for.
Everybody's gonna run for the status quo.
They're gonna run for they're gonna run for the clout. Oh, okay, I can get 100 likes off of this.
Easy, let me post this hashtag.
People gonna think I'm popular.
It's easy to run with a crowd than to stand alone.
100%.
And it's sad because I try to pride myself as an individual, and as many times that I've burned so many bridges because of that. I've burned way too many bridges.
Yeah.
And it shows in life. And honestly, it does. But at the end of the day, you could wake up in the morning and live with yourself and know what you've done.
You could live
with your truth and actually walk around and say, I'm not a sheep. I'm a shepherd.
Real talk. Now, Alexis.
That goes into my question.
Yeah, go ahead.
How was your journey getting to, you've been podcasting for 5 years. Tell us about the journey of how you got to this wonderful world that, you know, podcasting is such a big deal now. Like everybody has a podcast. Everybody is podcasting.
But you know who has the most important podcast? BrazeJerks.net.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Big things coming over there. Big things coming over there. Humongous.
Y'all go ahead.
Okay, well, don't stop my question. So tell us about your journey. Tell us how you got to the 5 years. You know, 5 years is a big deal. So congratulations on that.
Thanks, it's crazy.
It's a long time.
Tell us about this journey, because podcasting has definitely gone through an evolution. So tell us the beginning. And all the way up to
because it's a little deeper than
first and foremost, I'm a natural born ham. I'm a clown. I'm one of those who enjoys the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
So ever since I was able to be in front of an audience, I didn't mind the sound of people laughing at me or crying with me or just whatever the case may be. I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's two things that we've heard in life that people are afraid of. One is death, and the second is speaking in front of others. I'm more afraid of dying than I am of speaking in front of people.
I respect that.
So that's always been a thing for me. I perform in front of numerous crowds, hundreds and thousands of people at times, depending on what it is, doing plays and stuff like that. And just being a natural born actor,
mm-hmm.
comedian, clown,
entertainer all around.
Entertainer all around. I'm just a dickhead and whatever. But when it came, fast forward to, when it came to podcasting, I was actually doing articles for then, it wasn't RageWorks at the time. It was My Take Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I met Rich through a friend of ours, and he put me onto it, and he knew I was a big wrestling fan.
Shout out Big Rich.
Big Rich! And he, you know, I was doing articles for him. I was doing indie wrestling promotions. I would do, articles about wrestlers of the week. What did I watch? Stuff like that. And besides being a performer, I enjoy writing as well. That's another thing. You mentioned reading that a lot of people don't do these days. Writing is another thing that a lot of people don't do.
Nope.
And mm-hmm. it's sad because it's such a lost art form these days.
Mm-hmm.
I always take such pride, and I try to trickle that down to my daughter as well, where there's one thing to convey yourself as a performer, but when you're doing it in writing, it comes off so heavy as well, because your words, if your person feels your words,
mm-hmm.
they can feel you as a person.
It starts mental.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything comes. That's why letters and letters don't even exist anymore.
Dog.
You can't even write letters anymore to people. Wow.
Was the last time somebody wrote a letter
exactly.
to a girl? Like,
there was so much time that I would sit there, and I know I'm segueing for a little bit, but I'll come back on the track in a minute. But there's so much, there was so much thought and so much emotion that used to go into writing someone a letter,
mm-hmm.
like a love letter or a passionate thought about what you're feeling inside. There's no more writing journals for people anymore. There's no more just taking the time to write someone and telling them, I love you and this is what you mean to me. Or just like, hey, what's going on? How's everything going? Mm-hmm. These days, it's just like, text, what up? You good?
That's it.
All right, fam. You all right? You don't even text long anymore. Everything is just like bars, so, bars, 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 bars.
Or just gifts.
Yeah.
That's it.
And the art of writing is lost. And I remember I put so much time in writing and through school and through my life that it became something that when I found Rich, it opened my eyes back up to why I love doing it. Finally, Rich had his own show, My Tech Radio, and he got up to like 300 episodes. And he was like, I can't do it anymore because he saw what his product was becoming, mm-hmm. and he wanted to make it bigger. So I had already a thought process of what I wanted to do. Since he already had the wrestling segment a lot.
Yeah.
I said, he goes, well, since you're so good with me on the show, whenever I called in, he goes, you should do your own.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. He says, you're natural at this. You should just automatically do it. So I said, I thought about it. And there was another individual who came on with me. We did it for a couple of episodes. The chemistry was there, but he wasn't. That's when I started the regular season sportscast. That was the TRSS sportscast that I have. So for a time being, it started off from there. That was the beginning. That was the kickoff of the 5 year. 100 and some odd episodes in, Rich turns to me and he tells me, this is when he really he pushed and he says, listen, I'm not going to do my take anymore. He says, why don't you take over the wrestling aspect? He says, you already do it as a segment on the show. Why don't you put it on? So I thought about it and I said, yes. I didn't even take it. It didn't even like 20
just go
seconds.
For it, yep, right.
I got it.
And he finished that, what? It was 400 episodes he finished, right?
It was around there. It was around 400, there, right? Something yeah. like that. And no sooner than he finished, I was already on board the next week carrying over the wrestling.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So I, it's funny because you listen to the earlier spots that you're on, and you'll get to it too when you start listening to your earlier
yeah.
episodes, mm-hmm. and you start listening to it, and it starts getting cringy. It's like, oh my god,
I can't listen to anything.
Right, I can't. It's funny because I go, oh god, okay, and it's tough because not only am I on air, but I, as you guys know, I do production as well. I do the editing. And it's like I was sitting there. It was myself and a co-host for TRSS for the regular season, and I had 2 laptops, a small mixer, 2 mics. I'm working off a phone trying to get sound effects. I really wanted the sound to make it like if I was really on air, but it was yeah. a goof. I still to this day, as I do Turnbuckle Tabloid, I do it as a goof because I want to feel like, you know, guys, it's fun.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, I want you to have that aspect. This is why when I hear you guys and you guys have this banter, you guys have this camaraderie when you go back and forth on a show. It's like it's like if I'm listening not to a Z Morning Zoo, but it sounds like
it's enjoyable.
Like I'm gonna go with the Black Station, Kiss FM or something like that. I'm gonna go BLS.
Tom Joyner.
Yeah, it's like Tom like BLS and Frankie Crockett and shit like that. But he's with the sultry sounds of Alexis McCoy. But it's one of those the camaraderie that you don't get anymore on podcasting because now these days in podcasting, everybody's so cookie cutter and they think that they know what they're doing. Once again, clout chasing. Everybody's clout yeah. chasing. This is why I love the fact that you guys have, it's not a podcast, it's a culture cast.
Culture cast, baby.
Yeah, I will. That is so funny that you say that and hearing your feedback on me being on a podcast because that was one thing that we will always have a conversation about how anal I am. But he always tells me, you have to have fun. And sometimes I forget about that because mm-hmm. I come from the world of production and right. I am a writer right. first. So when you were talking about writing, I write for, that's my escape goal.
Right.
So my writing has structure because I'm a screenwriter and I'm also a playwright. Mm-hmm. So my writing has structure. So when I get into situations like this where I have to be able, I can freely write, but I'm not one of those people that can freely just say I can freely tell what is on my mind with a character. I can say whatever the fuck I want to say. But sometimes I center myself when I'm talking realistically through a podcast because I'm like, damn, somebody going to come back and say, she said this mm-hmm. on this date, you know? But it also goes with what you said, just being true to yourself and just accepting that this is who you are. And either people love it or they hate it.
Yeah, I don't, every week that I've been doing it, like I said, it's going to be 5 years in, 5 years in August, with TRSS and podcasting all together. And, we just celebrated 2 years for Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my man Olski, my co-host.
Shout out to Olski.
My young white boy. It becomes a thing to where I'm like you also. I have a thing to where, although in the madness of what we do, like I said, although it's tongue in cheek and it's very, you know, out of bounds because I take a lot of the stuff that I do from a lot of the forefathers of radio, like the Howard Sterns, mm-hmm. the Dan Patricks of sports, even to the guys that are now who's doing it, like the Stephen A. Smiths and all that. I take their formulas and I mesh it into what we do here because although it's a hokey show.
Yeah.
From either side we do, but I also take it as, I want it to be hokey, but I also want it to sound like if you're listening to the radio.
That's yeah. the thing. There's like, I try to, me and her, I've explained it to her. It's like, there's structure, but then you have to remember that you just can't think sometimes.
Yeah, there's a method to the madness.
There's
yeah.
always a method to the madness. And it's like, for one, I'll tell you, I'm very happy to have been around for so long with you. Like, we all, well, they don't know, but if you haven't heard before, if it wasn't for you and Rich, we wouldn't have this.
Yeah, I thought
or at least we wouldn't have it. I wouldn't have had it as early.
Yeah, I thought right off the bat that this is something that needed to be done because I remember early on, and the best thing about what Josie's Boy does is that he always is able to find people around him to make him better, and this is something that he's done with the likes of you, Mr. Lexus. But not only that, it's
another thing. No, he did it alone. I just came in and added it's an expansion.
No, but it's also a thing too, where with something like this, and even early on, when he had a tough going with another project he was doing outside, and we were conversing about it. I told him,
was it the YouTube thing?
Yeah. And it was a building block for something that I saw that he had a passion for, but the other individuals around weren't putting it in.
Yeah.
So I told him, I says, you've been on my show numerous times. You already know how to speak. You already know what it is. You know what it is to be in front of, on a mic to, let's go. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
And he goes, really? I said, yeah, all I got to do is tell Rich. And we'll give him a rundown of what the show will be about, and we'll get it going. Rich, it wasn't even, not even a minute passed where Rich was right back and he says, he's like, perfect. I like him on the show anyway. Let's give him a 5-episode run and we'll go. The thing about when it comes to these days, and we could go back to the cloud chasing as well.
Yeah, because I got a really good question after you finish your point.
The thing about the cloud chasing as well is because, especially when it comes to podcasting, we see a lot of individuals now who not only want to, who think they can podcast, but they also believe that they have subject matter that people really care to listen to, and that's really tough to do these days. The one thing I can't do, I don't know if you guys are able to do it. Do you guys listen to podcasts? Yeah, well, you do.
It's only maybe two.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I just started listening to podcasts since I started podcasting because. Okay, let me just go back. I didn't mean to cut you off, let me go back when I first. I did it when I had to listen to podcasts when I was in grad school. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I might as well just look at a video of these people talking for so long. But the podcast is not like our podcast that's like an hour and 20 minutes. I could listen to an hour and 20 minutes, but 2-hour, 3-hour podcast, that is a television show.
No, yeah, no, definitely. Definitely.
Right.
See, and that's the thing that happens with what? Oh, you want to? Oh,
yeah, please.
Here's the,
I was just like, when I was in grad school, I was like, no, I cannot. I tried it, but it was so long of a process that I was just like, the first 20 minutes I was out.
And it's funny because that's the thing. I feel like I understand what you were saying, Jay. We are like literally a jambalaya of.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Thank you. We're literally like a jambalaya of our influences. Mm-hmm. Like you are, you're Big Van Howster.
Bix Howster, Big Opie and Anthony.
Opie and Anthony, yeah.
Even Ed Love and Dr. Dre. Oh. And even I'll even take some stuff from the Breakfast Club and stuff like that. Like I would even take some influences from there.
And like the morning show from High 97 back in the day.
Exactly. Like Lisa G, you know, that stuff. Yeah.
We are literally products of what we've intaken. And, but right now with the way the game is changing, like we were talking about this the other day, how we are, if we're talking about podcasting, we're brick and mortar stores. We still exist, but we also, you know, online is supposed to be killing everybody.
Right.
But we also have those presences too. So we have a nice little balance. But, right now with the way things are changing, it's like, it's kind of the way music is there. It's now it's less of 2-hour podcasting to where people have 20-minute podcasts every other day.
Right.
Or like three or four times a week. So somebody who comes from a traditional standpoint, cause we actually do. If everybody does 30-minute podcasts, we do long-winded shows, which would be hour 20, hour 30, whatever.
Please, like, I'm traditional shows, three hours a week.
Right, so it's like we do traditional, but you have a lot of shit to put out. So it's a different story. But we find ways to kind of like we pander to the people that like us. We're not really trying to like just gain shit for no reason. If you like it, you like it. But for somebody who comes from, I guess we would say like a traditional standpoint or whatever, and us like being around. Specifically, you being around before podcasting got hot. How do you deal with the transition that podcasting is making right now, where it goes with the clout chasing or the popularity or just anything in that nature? Because right now, podcasting is as accessible as music is. It's easy. So how do you? Yeah, it's a little technical thing.
There we go. Got it.
So how do you take that?
It's funny because I was just thinking about it this week where we crept up on, you know, all the milestones that we had. Mm-hmm. And I also think about it to where, as fast as technology is and as fast as podcasting and stuff as it is, it's been generating and growing. Mm-hmm. We're the mom and pop store. Like, we're the grandfathers of this game now. There's not a lot of people who have 150 episodes on any belt.
You know, somebody called me an OG the last time I was on this show.
But it's facts though. It really is. You've been doing it for like, it seems 2 years, but in podcasting, it's like you might as well have been doing it for 10.
Yeah.
And
not
Rich,
three.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, three. Yeah. 3 years.
Yeah.
And Rich has been doing it since, I think he said 07.
He said like
06,
07.
Yeah. So yeah. Like he's, that's why he could have retired. Like, that's why he could have went off into the sunset. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's become to a thing to where, like you said, now everybody, and I understand where Alex is coming from because, mm-hmm. there's podcasts that go, they're too long-winded. Mm. There's certain times where you need to cut it off. Like, I'm a man and you understand yourself. Mm-hmm. I can understand. I enjoy the sound of my own voice. But at this time, you gotta get to the point. You need to cut it out sometime, dog.
Where you got to be like, look, let's take a, hour breather, sir.
Yeah, let's take a week. Cut it off. But it comes to a point where now, The formula is changed, mm-hmm. but is it changed because are you looking more to get the views, or are you looking more to get the downloads, or are you looking forward to get the message?
That's a word. Yeah. No, for real, because at the end of the day, people want to listen to you because it's something that's relatable, but they want to leave with something. They want to leave. You want to take, I feel like a podcast, when I listen to a podcast, I want to be able to, one, feel like I'm connected to the people that I'm speaking with,
right.
And they're not just talking at me. They're not throwing out fun facts that I can, or not, I'm not going to say fun facts. I'm going to call it media hits that everybody can read on TMZ.
Right.
Like the latest on Love and Hip Hop. Like I can find that on my Google search.
We just spoke about that, didn't we?
Yeah.
The other day.
It's funny because the one thing that we have always, we always talk about whenever anybody starts a podcast.
Yeah.
The first episode is sex and fuck boys. First episode of everybody's fucking podcast. Hood podcast. Sorry, everybody's hood podcast, any one of those, they're all about fuck boys and sex. I always think that's what they have.
I think that's fine. Not every episode.
No, the first everybody's yeah. first episode.
No,
everybody's
no, I got episode. That. I got that. Yeah,
everybody,
I got that part. But no, I think that people really want to hear stuff that's relatable. They want to learn new information that they did not know, instead of something that they can just pull up they can Google all of the shit that we talk
right,
about.
Right.
But it's different when somebody tells you, like yourself, that has been podcasting for such a long time, and you've been through the different transitions and evolutions of podcasting, to hear from you than to just reading and be like, when you start podcasting, one, you need to get equipment. Like right. Nobody
yeah, yeah, yeah,
wants
yeah.
to hear about yeah. that. But I mean, I think it's a cool thing when you are able to listen to people that are, one, having fun, two, they're giving you something that you can take along with you, and three, at the end of it, you like, damn, I didn't even know the hour had passed. Like, I had fun with them.
And that's where we get lost at when it comes to the world of podcasting. I myself, I listen to podcasts because it's like part of the job now.
Yeah.
Because,
research.
Yeah, it's research.
Yeah.
And I've become to a thing to where as soon as I'm not pulled into what's going on in the first 5 minutes, I have to cut it off.
Just like
yeah.
a movie.
Yeah. You click it off. And it becomes like, and Josie's boy will tell you, and I've always said it, I can't listen to trash, because then it becomes my trash, and then I carry it as my trash.
And you'll get angry. Yeah.
And, then and not only do I get angry, then I start feeling like I'm doing that trash. Like mm-hmm. I'm doing exactly what they're doing. And I don't want it to seem like, I don't want it to be that way, because then it starts carrying over. And I get, people get upset at me. It's like, oh, did you listen to such and such podcast? And
no.
I'm like, no, why? I said, because it's trash. It's garbage.
I'm that way with movies and shit like that.
Yeah.
So you can't watch everything.
You can't watch everything. But also when it comes to, and people always, they always have to be like, just, oh, you a hater. It's not, I'm a hater. I just don't like it.
Well, I think
people
trash,
hate my shit.
I think trash is like a very aggressive word.
Yeah. I mean, you're a southerner.
I'm like a positive poly, but I just think that different strokes for different folks. What is your trash is another man's treasure.
That's
so
true.
I just, normally when it's stuff that I don't like but that's just your language. Normally when it's something, that's somebody's work. Just like you have invested your time into the podcast, somebody else has invested their time. It might not be your format. Right. It might not be your type of tea.
Right.
But you can just be like, look, that ain't my type. That ain't my type of podcast that I would like to listen to.
I get it. But then, you know, when
we're
it comes
from
to
New
that,
York. We're harsh.
Yeah, we're harsh. And not only that, it's also a thing to where, like you just mentioned, like when you know how much work you put into this, how much time you put into it,
mm-hmm.
and like for myself, I do bits. Mm-hmm. I do segments. I do interviews. I do extensive research when it comes to individuals and all that stuff. When I hear somebody's podcast and they're trying to do something quote unquote legitimate, and you could tell, you hear it that they're phoning it in.
Yeah.
That's trash to me. That's what I contribute. If somebody's doing something for the love, like not everybody has a radio voice. And not everybody has a voice for them, to be an entertainer. Not everybody has that.
Yeah.
If you have a passion for something,
it has it.
I get that. But if you're doing
I may not have it.
Yeah. Oh no, you have.
I mean,
more
I do,
it.
But you know,
you have the SH it with it. You have the shit.
All right.
No, but it's when this is why once again we'll revert back to the clout chasing. Mm-hmm. If you're doing it just for the fact to say, yo, I got a podcast, yo, listen to my stuff, and I know you're phoning it in, that's why I say it's trash. That's why I know it's
okay,
garbage.
I got
that's
it.
When I know it's.
But so you can tell that it's just thrown together.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
I gotcha.
You don't need fancy intros.
You don't. No.
As long as I know that you're putting in the work and I hear it and I hear the passion in what you're doing and it's something that you have coming from within inside you to say, listen, I want the world to hear it, whether or not, whatever the case may be. Look, at the end of the day, let's be honest here. I'm going to get paid for this shit. It's going to happen.
It's
inevitable. I'm going to get paid for this shit.
Now, it's funny. I'm glad you got that. That segues into the next thing. So now, you are a full-time entertainer for the most part. Let's put it like that.
My life is a stage and everybody's a freaking extra in it.
Pretty much. So you work full-time. You are a podcaster, writer, entertainer, and you're also a father.
Yeah.
A full-time father. So now a person who has all these responsibilities and you, I mean, not only, like you said, not only are you on podcasts, you produce podcasts, this one as well. You've taught me how to do this and you still do some editing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just until we're out of Red Room Studios, but we're still home. So that's another story.
I don't even think about it.
Oh my God, that's crying.
You know, we had this talk last week. So. But, Being a person who has all these responsibilities and still pursues a passion, what kind of advice would you give to somebody who has full time responsibilities and still wants to pursue a passion?
That is a good question.
Thank you.
What you got to say, sir? I'm ready.
I have to sip my tea.
You gotta think about that one.
You gonna sip your tea out of your Deadpool cup?
I'm a sippy cup.
With the red straw.
You know, it's really tough. Like you mentioned, of all the stuff that I have that I juggle with my mom. And not only that, I also take care of a disabled mother as well.
Yeah, shout out to mom.
Big mom as well. Yeah. I also take care of her as well. I work nights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My days are just like, I sleep in shifts. I'm a father to an 11-year-old woman because she's grown into a woman fast.
I've known her since yay high.
Yay high. And
she's a preteen.
It's always a thing to where if it becomes work, then you shouldn't do it. It should be done.
Wow.
You should
Good
be
point.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
This has not yet been work. I had to stop the regular season sportscast for a minute because it wasn't because I didn't like doing it. I love doing the show. It's because when it comes to sports, my passion's still there, but when it comes to sports, the banter is better when it's two people.
Yeah.
It's better when you're going off getting opinions from another person about an athlete, about a sports news segment, about a team, whatever. It's better to go back and forth with somebody. For me to just go on the mic and just air it out for, you know, an hour or whatever. It's exhausting, but it's also not a lot of people want to hear you filibuster for that whole time. You also, you want to hear back and forth because people want to have that choice to either agree or disagree or be like down the middle. So I had to put that to the side for now. With Turnbuckle Tabloid, it's become so much fun that I look forward, that I wish that I can do it almost every day.
I respect that.
Wow.
I would love to do it every day. This is why now we've opened up other channels where we're sharing a lot more on Instagram. We're doing more gaming on YouTube. We're doing more stuff to where, we're trying to provide more content for the Facebook live streams. It's not only the presence, it's because I want to do so much more. And even when Oski hits me up, he goes, you know, damn, I wish I could freaking record today. But because of the scheduling wise, because of what, you know, his schedule with school, my schedule with work and such like that, we always have to find a different medium. When it becomes a job, then you don't want to do it anymore because that's when it's painful. This is why when Josie's Boy, the consistency has been amazing that you guys have been here starting off Thursdays and moved to Wednesdays. And it's been the consistency. You know, you get the hiccups here and there, yeah. But the consistency is there. That's when you know it's like, you don't have to sit there and go, oh, we got to go do this again.
I want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And it's like, especially when you know that you have so much on your mind to say for that week.
And you only get an hour and 20
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah. You guys are good because you guys get a lock. You guys are locked in with the hour 20.
Right.
And a lot of times that you have, you feel so much in an hour 20. It's like, it's like going to Nobu and just like eating fish, a small plate of fish and going, wow, I'm stuffed.
One egg roll?
Yeah. Huh. Like with us, it's like going to fucking Golden Corral. It's a buffet.
Yeah.
Well, more wrestling, more you can eat. But it becomes, I always find time for everything. I find time for sleep. I find time for my daughter. Find time to homework with her. Find time to take care of mom. I find time for the show. And each one is not a drudgery. Each one is not. It's something you have to do. Podcasting, although it's my love, but I have to do it because if not, there's a hole that I'm gonna have that I'm not gonna be able to fill.
It's something that completes you. Right. So it's something that you love.
Yeah.
I'm just missing one more aspect in my life, and I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies is complicated.
She might be listening,
so I gotta be nice.
Oh, okay.
It's complicated.
So,
but I'm single.
I do have a question somewhat. For you. So with all of that being said, what podcasting is definitely something that you can wake up, even if you just made the plug of the coin is coming, but what if the coin never comes? Would this be something that you will continue to do?
Like, would you do it without money?
It's funny. You would have loved this conversation. You guys would have loved this conversation the other day. We had an individual who came in, into the studio last week.
Asking great questions.
We had an individual who came into the studio last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, if you ever got the chance to hear the episode, I basically cut the fucking segments. And I hate doing that.
Yeah.
I hate having to do an episode and I think that it's going to go well. And then I have to scrap it. And I go, listen, we got to go again. So the individual comes in and talented dude. He actually, gave me some of his photography and he had an issue where he was upset because he's sharing his photos on social media, but people aren't giving him credit for his work. And I want to hear your thought about this. Okay. They don't give him photography credit for his work.
Oh.
So, you know, they're sharing his picture. Even the professional wrestlers that he takes pictures of, they just basically screenshot and they just put it on their page.
Right.
And they don't credit him. So I had asked him, I said, so, you know, what measures are you doing to prevent this? Like, what are you doing? You know, so we had a consultation and he was very combative because he thought I was challenging his craft. And I was like, no, I'm actually trying to help you because I actually like what you do.
Right.
You know, maybe watermark your stuff, maybe do certain this and this and whatever.
Right.
So he's like, oh, you know, I just hate when people do that. I said, let me ask you something. Are you doing it to get the bag or are you doing it for the love?
There has to be a balance.
Right. I said, what are you doing it for? Are you trying to get the bag or are you doing it for the love? So he says, I'm doing it for the love. I said, then why are you complaining? If you're doing it for the love, then you should be happy that somebody's, I mean, I understand you want the credit, but protect yourself from it.
Right.
But if you're doing it for the love, then you should be able to be carefree, like, oh man, this guy's sharing my stuff. And don't
shouldn't
even,
matter.
Shouldn't matter.
Shouldn't matter.
But you, it's a double-edged sword. With me, at the end of the day, fuck yeah. I want advertisers. I want one day that, you know, a big network comes in and they'll fucking, I want Disney to buy this shit.
You
want to
get picked up?
Hell yeah. I want Disney to say, Turnbuckle Tabloid, we want to buy your show. Sure, no problem. I'll be the cleanest wrestling show you ever heard in your life.
But I believe.
Profanity, fuck that. I'll be out
the
door.
Hey, Fudge, he slammed the freaking door.
Oh, man, that's some darn tooting sharp shooting holes he's doing there, sir.
I truly
why did
believe
I have to sound like a redneck?
You did. You've been playing too much Red Dead.
I know.
I like that you bring up that point, though. Like, my thing is this. There has to, no matter what you do in the beginning, there's not going to be any money. So you have to have some love for it. So you're right.
It's
you
funny because when we first started, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I first started the regular season, right? My co-host at the time, first episode out, we got, cause Rich tracks all the numbers and right out the gate.
I remember.
It was like 110 episodes, 110 of downloads and streams.
It was 110, yeah.
110, right out the gate.
110.
And my co-host lost his fucking mind. He's like, oh my God. Crazy. He's like, how do we get on Sirius XM? I said, are you fucking serious, bro?
One episode.
Are you serious? I didn't want to break his heart to tell him what the second episode got.
Mm-hmm.
Like it happens.
It fluctuates.
Yeah.
I tell everyone, the first thing you do is when everybody shows.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, the first time you do something, everyone shows up. But it's when you start something, if you get into something and you don't have a passion for it, if you're solely chasing money, you'll get nothing out of it.
No, of course
some real shit. Yeah. And I'll tell you, as an artist, I've given away way more than I've ever sold.
Definitely.
Ever. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing this for almost about 17 years now. I've been, well, I guess, professional, whatever, you know, there's lines.
You've been doing it for 17 years. 17, as much time and effort.
As I've been taking this very seriously. It's been 17 years now since I started. 17 years since I started painting. Okay. And I've given, and I learned that a long time ago. You'll give away way more than you ever sell. And I have. Of course, that in turn turns into sales, but you do something so well for so long that you believe you deserve to get. That's a difference.
Right.
Like actually knowing there's an end goal and knowing what you deserve and knowing your worth and things of that nature, that's different than getting to something strictly for just the paper. Like there was somebody who I had on my show. I won't say which episode it is, but you remember when he came. You remember. There was a guy.
I love it. I love when you refer to this episode.
There was a guy I knew. Now, me and you've been trying to get me to give him the show for a long time. Do it. And I'm like, nah. I waited so many episodes.
I was like, God, I hope he brings it.
I waited so many episodes just to do it. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. For one, they were late.
Yes.
They were
tacky.
Late.
What? So
they were late.
They were late.
They were late.
Fashionably late.
They were late. And I'm like, you know.
And especially fashionably. Because remember.
When you late, that ain't nothing fashionable about that.
Imagine at the time, this is when not only was he had the day going on as always. He had scheduled the day. He also had a scheduled time because he used to like go on Facebook Live at 8:30.
I was on live every day. For almost 2 years straight, I was on Facebook every Thursday.
Yeah.
Every Thursday. So he was late. Then he brought friends.
Ugh.
Oh, he had an entourage.
He brought three people. I tell people all the time, if you are going to bring people, this is not my studio. Let me know. And I always tell people, come by yourself if you can. If you want to bring one friend, because you've never been over here, fine. Completely get that. You need help going back. I understand that.
I only allowed that from like one person.
So what
that's
because
we know. Shout out to Nico. That's because we know him.
Nico, yeah, that's fam.
They show up I was like, you know, I'm gonna do the episode because I believe in anybody, people that we support. If we're behind people, if you got like 50,000-60,000 followers, I believe the public needs to hear how you speak and know what you believe.
Right.
I believe in that.
And not only that, he wanted to expose him as well. So let's be honest here.
No, I did. I can't even.
You talking about petty early on? Shit.
Well, as the kids would say, no cap.
No, you weren't capping at all.
No, I wasn't capping. No cap. Big drip.
Splash.
It don't work. It's a thing. We got a handshake
I'm over 40, damn it. I'm lost in the woods.
It's okay.
You ain't missing it.
We just say it to make fun of it. That's it. So we're on the show and we're talking, and I'm having more of a conversation with his entourage than the man who's on the mic.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's killing me.
And it's funny because the entourage was having more of a good time of it than they were because they loved the whole...
They just loved the setup.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, y'all do this every week? You blah, 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 blah. Then one of his boys wanted to take a picture with your belt.
Yeah,
boy, you are like jocking right now.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Leave.
It's amazing.
So during the interview, we're talking...
If they would have left, you wouldn't have had nobody to talk to.
No, this is after the interview.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted them gone.
But even so, like the just the way that it was put together,
mm-hmm.
you felt the annoyance and also felt that Josie's boy was already like,
I'm ready. All
right, whatever formula he had, I'm throwing it out the window right now because I got some other shit I'm gonna do today.
Because my thing, I was ready to do a whole other episode.
Yeah, exactly.
After I was done, I was about to say scrap this shit, whatever. But he got on and I asked him. I said, as an artist, what's your goal? He says to be well known or well paid, and I'm like, my guy, you're getting into the wrong game for that then.
Yeah.
For a life, you should just be a stripper.
Yeah.
That's what you said?
I said it to him, yeah. And I'm like, for all that, dog, like you, because if you're getting into something solely for money, you can sell crack for that.
That's There's a whole real. Bunch of other jobs you can do, right?
There's a whole bunch of other jobs you could do. You could be a gigolo. You could be a bouncer. You could be a bartender. You could be, no, that's an R. Kelly song. We can't do that.
That's
R. Kelly produced it.
Oh, you're right.
And he did the chorus.
I'm thinking about the Nick Cannon Turbo version.
It is Nick Cannon, but R. Kelly produced it and did the chorus. Okay. That's R. Kelly.
Well, hell, I'm sorry.
Like a lemon knees, hand down to her knees.
I'll tell you this, right?
Uh huh.
same conversation that I had the young man I was here, right? Mm-hmm. We're having this discussion, and he felt like as though, no, I'm watching. I got it.
I know. No, I'm doing this for her. Oh, okay. I know.
And mind you, we had another individual. Shout out to that punk Isaac, if you mind me saying that.
Isaac is my guy.
And he had and matter of fact,
he did videography for one of my shows.
Right, and we had a discussion about that. Mm-hmm. I said, Isaac, I said, when you did the show with Josie's boy, what was the first thing that he asked you? And he says, how much am I charging? Right out the gate. He says he liked my work and he asked me right out the gate, how much am I charging? I says, that's how you do business. And that's how you're supposed to do.
I'm trying to support you.
I'm trying to support you.
Yeah.
So I'm telling this kid, I says, it's a beautiful thing that you love photography and you love what it is mm-hmm. that you do. And if that's what it is going to be your days, then you just do that. But don't sit there and want the double-edged sword. You don't want, you gotta understand that you want the payoff at the end mm-hmm. or you're going to be this hippie, free to the world, listening to old folk music, kind of guy. You know, Pink Floyd or fucking what's the other one?
But if money motivates you from jump, you
lose. Right. I mean, but my whole thing about it, that's fine if you're into that, but don't complain. Like, you don't complain. I'll let you go. He goes, oh, but you do yours for free. You're not getting paid for this. But I said, yeah, but I'm not complaining about people stealing my stuff.
You're putting it out.
I'm putting it out there.
I think what people need to understand, and individuals that are looking at it from, I have this talent, I want to receive financial stability mm-hmm. from it, is that you have to go through processes. You have to go through the steps. Right. You have not, the reason why you have not made the money that you need to make, because you have not went through the steps
right.
to be at a point where I believe God will allow for you to mm-hmm. be in a position to have the money that you need to fund your life.
Real talk.
So say for instance, you got your camera, you got good at creating, taking shots of portraits, but the jobs that is meant for you is supposed to be lifestyle shots, but you don't know how to edit. You don't got the computer. Mm. You don't got all of the resources you need in order for your business to be funded by your talent. You haven't even went through the steps. You haven't even learned all of the things that you need to learn mm-hmm. to make sure that your business, you're able to get revenue from your talent.
You're
just thinking about money. I got this camera. I should be able to shoot. I'm going to give these people these photos. But it's all about the presentation. If your package is not together, people are not going to invest into what you have. If you ain't got your shit together, that's basically what you were talking about as far as like earlier about the podcast that you're not listening to because it's trash. They did not invest enough time, so it's going to filter out because they didn't invest. They didn't invest. They didn't go through the proper steps mm-hmm. to find out how you're supposed to properly, you know, do sound with a podcast. What is your setup? What is the format? They didn't do all that. They just was like, everybody's doing it. Let's do it.
You know what else, though? And it's funny because, like, of course, I mean, whether or not age has nothing to do with it, I can call you my OG because you've been doing this longer than me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, granted, I may have come maybe almost pretty much a year after you.
Right.
But either way, it's like you've been before me. And that's a big issue right there, too, because people have too much ego and they feel like they right. don't have to learn from
and
anybody.
And that's what I learned. It's funny because the conversation we had, I was having with the kid, mm-hmm. Oski was in a building and you and I, we're blood, we're family, like mm-hmm. we're tied. Like I always tell people, he's my heterosexual life mate. That's my heterosexual life mate. But it's not like that's just always been a thing to where we agree on everything. We've had knockdown brawls
in front of people,
debates. Under the sun heated exchanges. And, you know, in the cases he's walked out or I'm just like, yo, I cut it off and I'm done and whatever the case may be. And then like the next day is like, yo, did you see the thing on TMZ or did you see the video?
Right.
It's a process. And even though I'm older than the room, I don't mind learning from what's younger than me.
You've never turned me down.
I never turn you down. No. Like that's not the thing. I'm not going to be the arrogant prick that's video. What the fuck you know? You ain't see what I see. But that's what gets lost in the translation. But and big shout out once again. We've been saying it to Big Rich. The thing that we do here in the podcast, I've been lucky enough, and you guys have been lucky enough as well, is because we're not really doing this on our own. We're part of one big umbrella.
We got
the Rage Work Network.
Thankfully.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, thankfully.
And it's different because I see a lot of people that are like, oh, and I asked them, I said, oh, you got a podcast? Said, oh, where you at? Oh, I'm on iTunes. Everybody's on iTunes.
Everybody's on SoundCloud, iTunes.
And those are the two big conglomerates, SoundCloud and iTunes. They go, oh, you have a podcast? Yeah, where are you at? iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play Music, iTunes, TuneIn, CastBox, Mi Gente, Black Planet.
Black Planet.
We're on everywhere. And that's because
La Marina.
La Marina. We're everywhere.
La Maqueta on 116th.
Shout out to 116th. I'll tell you that. They don't do that anymore?
No, no more.
They don't do
no
that anymore.
They stopped the year.
Shit. I think I went there one time before.
I went when I was younger.
But the thing is that we were able to have that access because Rich gave us that access that he helped us along. And it's, we do what we do because he gave us not only the confidence, but he also gave us the lane to say, listen, you guys are that good. My whole setup, my whole rig is because of him. Because he's confident in what we do. If we were shit, he'd have been like, I ain't.
But out of everybody.
And believe me, and I know there's people in our umbrella that he wouldn't have done this for.
And not even trying to talk shit about
not to throw shade, but it's facts though.
Let's be honest.
But it's facts though.
Not to throw anybody under the bus, but let's be real. He has come to us and told us how confident he is in us.
Exactly.
He has told me plenty of times how much he loved that. That Alexis is on now. He has told me plenty of times how, like, I was there from when he started pushing Turnbuckle Tabloid and TRSS as a flag.
Right.
I was there.
I even have the offshoot on SoundCloud, which is Red Room Studio. Yeah. And he says, yo, just, I'll promote it.
Shout out to Cocktails.
Oh, Cocktails.
I actually just listened to it. So I actually just did.
It's actually been a good episode, right?
It is.
Yes. I got more. Whenever we get the chance, we got more to do.
Yeah.
But no, but that's the other thing too, because at the end of the day, I don't want to disappoint him. I would rather disappoint myself before I disappoint him. Because he's put so much confidence in what we do here. I'd rather have that go on. And I think that a lot of people lose themselves when it comes to having trust or actually having like some type of connection with others to help people to help you make you better.
Right.
And it's
allowing to let
allowing people
better.
To help you make you better. Because I even told homeboy, I told him, I says, to be honest, if I didn't believe in what your work, I wouldn't be telling you shit. I would tell you to get the fuck out of my house. Because you're being really, kind of disrespectful right now.
Oh, wow.
I'll have to tell you the whole story, but
go ahead.
I'll tell you off the mic. But at the end of the day, there's that small inkling within yourself that tells you, even if I don't get paid for this, I'm still able to click that mix on, put the audio on, and I'm still going to be able to go out there and share with the world my thoughts because somebody's listening, somebody cares.
They need it.
Yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
needs it.
And I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I've come to grips with that. Listen, I ain't going to lie. I have a regular job and I make decent living for it. But if I fucking could get paid for this shit, yeah, I would leave my job.
When?
Thank you. When?
Speaking I've been telling me for years.
Speaking to existence. When? But yeah, it's honestly like, I would leave. I would live my fucking job in a heartbeat because this is what I would want to do for the rest of my life.
But even if
I don't get paid for it, mm-hmm. I still would want to do this for the rest of my life.
Because you love it.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with it. And that's the beautiful thing about this. It doesn't have anything to do with ego. It's like, it's something that you love to do. Yeah, you throw your little bravado in there every once in a while.
Oh, of course.
But it has nothing to do about ego. It's like, you click the on button. It's like, yo.
I'm the nicest shit on fucking in wrestling podcasts. Ain't nobody touching me on that
claim
shit.
Claim it.
It's facts, though.
Let's be real.
I'm factual with it. Not only do I talk the shit, but I know what the fuck I'm talking about. And I also bring humor and I try to tie everything else in the fold. I wish that I have those outlets sometimes to where I could speak this way on the show, but nobody would get it.
Right.
Because it's not that type of show.
Right.
But lastly, before you start wrapping up, whatever, because you're going to do it. But I have to say that I wouldn't be able to do the Turnbuckle Tabloid the way that I do it without my little man, Oski. Like, I have to honestly say that little fuck, like,
wow.
That little fuck. No, and the reason why I say this is because just as driven as I am, the little fuck is just as driven as I am.
That's cool.
He pushes because he'll even tell me, he says, yo, I got tests this week. I got to really cram. I got to do this. And big shout out to him because he's doing well in college. He's killing it. Yeah. He's got I think it's over like a 3.0 average. He's doing really well. And
he's still a Mets fan.
And he's still a fucking Mets fan. Mm-hmm. So am I, but I'm not as diehard as him. But
is he still a Porzingis fan?
No, I think after he left the Knicks, he said, fuck him. Yeah, no, I think after he left the Knicks, he said, fuck him.
But did you see the sex?
Oh, yeah.
But go ahead.
I don't believe that shit.
Keep talking.
I don't believe that shit. Any case, they want to try to take the white black man down.
You stupid.
Without him, and this is why I would like to see, and I know that you guys have the same thing too going on, is that whole camaraderie is like, I know you're down, but we got to do this. And we got to push. Even if you're not there in spirit, I mean, even if you're not there physically, we're there in spirit. We got to go. Mm-hmm. We got to do it. Yeah. And because he missed you last week. I tried to fill the void.
He tried.
I tried to fill the void, but I think it's the bosoms. I don't have the bosoms. I'm working on it though. Bosoms. I don't have the bosoms.
It's something. If in all honesty, it's like Rich gave us a platform and never turns me down for any idea I have.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. He lets me have full blown creative control.
Shout out to Rich for doing that.
Yeah. Like
seeing the vision. And you know what? It's such a beautiful thing when a person can see your vision and believe in you and willing to take the risk with you. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, you know, anybody that has ever been in a situation where somebody has really kind of taken you under their wing and believed in you. So that's a cool trait that he has.
How have you felt since you've been on RageWorks? That's because I haven't asked her that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, how have you felt since you've been on?
I feel like I've been welcomed with open arms. Like I've been having a really good experience. People have been giving me feedback, and just hearing your feedback now, and people's take on it, and people's responses. It's been a great experience, and I think it's gonna get better. I've been having a really good time.
To be honest, the only thing I wanted to kill y'all with the other day was that 20-minute banter about the water. I wanted to beat fire both of y'all.
I had fun with it. It was fun. It was real. Like,
would you get to the fucking content already?
I just wanted the water. But I was thirsty.
But you know the thing with that,
yo,
too.
I got really good feedback over that. So real talk, though. I was like,
come on. You guys help me fucking get so relaxed. Because I'm in the room, and I'm like, you guys help me relax. But before I stop shining Rich's ass, I have to say that he's always been the one that says, he'll let you know right off the bat. That's the thing that's crazy. Mm-hmm. We thought our honesty is bad. His honesty is cutting.
Straight to the point.
Cutting.
Straight to the point. Mm-hmm.
And shout out to the wifey as well and the baby girl.
Mm-hmm. To the whole Butler clan.
The wife is just as bad. She's a big supporter of him as well. Been with each other for so many years.
But she lets you know with some shit.
And that made me want to get with the whole RageWorks family even closer as well, because I saw that unit. They've been with each other since they were high school.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and they've been with each other for so many years. And then, once again, younger than me. He's a younger man. He's about a couple of years younger than me. And
he's not that much older than me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's one of those things that's where I've never put my ego in front to say, I perform longer than you. I know what the fuck it is to do this, whatever. No, I've taken anything. Oh, if we had any ideas or we pitched whatever the case may be, we've pitched. But it's never been a tug of war. Right. It's never been anything to say that you know, what you guys need to do over there is this, this, and that. He's like, no, you guys are, I don't have to say anything to you. You guys are awesome.
At the end of the day, it is a business that he's running.
Yeah. And at the end of the day,
he wants to make sure that his business and everybody that's under his umbrella is working cohesiveness with his vision.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we all have our own individual platforms, but at the end of the day, RageWorks.net is the umbrella.
What's the word that I've been wanting to use this week? We have our own little idiosyncrasies.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me pick up that heavy word.
I'll say this much. I'm going to say from 3 years down to 150 down, which 200 is going to be a real celebration because that's a big deal. Big deal. I'm going to say thank you, sir.
Oh.
I'm going to say thank Rich, of course. And I want to thank Alexis, too, for completing the
Yeah, tandem. You really do need thanks because, honestly, I would have jumped ship like 2 weeks ago.
You stupid.
After the water shit, I'd have been out. Like,
Fuck you and your water.
I'd have threw it in his face and made it an issue. Fuck you and your water.
No, I want to say since I've it's good to just have people who are close to me in my life, but then also knowing that they're, and it's not just, I don't work with you guys just because y'all are close to me.
Oh. But you know what's the other thing too is that, and I know we're closing the time, but mm-hmm. Alexis, I think the best, and I don't know how it is with you, but I think the best critique comes those who care for you. And there's a lot of individuals who are afraid to tell you
Yeah.
That your shit is whack or your shit is like not good or maybe you should do something. A lot of people are they're afraid to do that because they don't want to hurt your feelings. The best way of going about it is, and this is what I do with the podcast, I do with the shows, and even hell, I do it in life. I tell people, it's like, I have a friend of mine who does videography, and he'll, whenever he's not really secure about something, he'll send it to me. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell him exactly what I like and I don't like about it because he knows I'm going to give him the honest answer.
Real talk.
And it takes a lot for an individual to honestly be able to accept that.
Yeah.
Giving it is different, you know, especially for me. I don't give a shit. But to take it as well is one of those things.
You gotta have both.
And you have to be able to receive it.
And take it in. And, I see that with you guys, what you guys got going on here. You have a nice building block to what can be whatever he had with Call Me When It's Over to take it to another level. I always say he need the next demo. That next demo is the females.
He definitely did say that.
I always said that. You need to get that female demo. They like to hear Josie's boy, but they want to hear Josie's boy with somebody talking shit with him.
Yeah.
And she,
people have been receptive to it.
They really should. But I have to say congratulations to you guys as well because I'm hoping.
Thank you.
I'm hoping that, that the rest of the landscape understands and sees what you guys are about.
Definitely.
Because definitely, like I said, with all these carbon copy and paste fucking podcasts, you guys could bring a breath of fresh air to something that needs to be done.
And so once again, it's not positive vibes to all of us.
Culture cast.
Vibes to all of us.
Thank you. We thank you, my brother, James the Red Santee. Please let everybody know where they can get you in Turn Vocal Tabloid.
Oh my God. I don't think I've ever done this.
It's your turn now.
Go ahead.
Run it down, brother. Run it down.
Make sure you check us out on all social media outlets on the Like and Group page on Facebook. That will be on the Like and Group pages at Turnbuckle Tabloid. Check us out on Turnbuckle Tabloid on Instagram as well as on Twitter at, this is where Oski would say Turnbuckle Tab.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you check us out on TRSS, Turnbuckle Tabloid on YouTube and on Anchor. And as always, on all podcasting outlets, it's at iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play Music. We're all over the fucking place, man. We're everywhere. I don't ever want to hear anybody say, yo, you have a podcast? Yeah, Google us, bitch.
You really can, though.
Seriously. My logo comes up in everything. Google us, bitch. And if you want to find me, I'm most likely in front of my TV playing video games and drinking something.
My God.
I'm getting lit.
I appreciate you. Right. Shout out to Oski, my guy.
Big shout out to Oski.
And yeah, that's it. So I'm your girl's favorite artist, Josie's boy.
And I'm Alexis A. McCoy.
Thank you guys for coming back. Please do not forget to follow the podcast at _ Call Me When It's Over.
And you can check us out on our Facebook page at Call Me When It's Over. Go ahead and engage with us this week.
Yeah, please do. We are available wherever Turnbuckle Tabloid is.
We got big news coming soon.
Yes.
Big news coming soon. Yeah, yeah. Very, very soon, guys.
Another big platform.
Yeah, big platform. Finally, it comes to a heat and we're going to be one big whole conglomerate. Oh, stay tuned to that soon.
Yes.
We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Google Play.
And you can check us out on our homepage at RageWorks.net. Shout out to Rich.
Shout out to Big Rich. And as always, speak up, speak out.
And leave your ego at the door.
This is the greatest show on earth.
Call Me When It's Over.